PhD from Harvard. Because of this, most of us can't separate now and 10 years ago. We just don't have that ability. I know these things only because I have fought tooth and nail over these things, especially the universal church. And I actually know why a lot of Baptists don't like the idea. We'll maybe ask you that question when we're seated. But it's very difficult to remember, did I sing this song in my home church? And the answer would be, I never sang this song until I became a pastor. Not one time. I remember because as a pastor, there's things in that song that would make a lot of people nervous. All right, Philippians 1:1. Frenchie's asked a question because he noticed he's a very observant guy. Then in the notes, it says the local church won. And he says, what's the one for? We're going to talk about the organization of a local church, and we're going to talk about the ordinances, and then we're going to talk about the objectives of a local church. So there's going to be three major parts. Philippians 1:1 is all you ever need to know about how a local church is organized. This is a local church. It has four parts. Paul and who? Timotheus. Now, we don't have Paul and Timotheus, but we have a local church is really not complex. Three parts. So if today you can actually learn this and know what it means, you don't need to come back for the next 3 weeks. Under the authority of the apostles. The apostles today, of course, we don't have any apostles. We have people who call themselves apostles. But remember, an apostle had to be someone who spent time with Jesus and saw the resurrection and or your name is Paul. Other than that, there are none. In the line of an apostle of Christ. Now, we can use the term in other ways. Under the authority of the apostles, as Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the teaching of the apostles. We, the local church, is led by the pastors, elders, bishops, which is terrible, overseers. The local church is served by the servants. We probably need to eliminate another bad King James word, deacon, because then you start talking of deacon boards and all kinds of things, and deacons think they have power as opposed to being what a deacon is, which is, by the way, the greatest of all, a servant. And then the local church is governed by the saints or the members. So under the authority of Scripture, basically, we don't have apostles today. We have their writings. Yes, we could include Jesus as being the head, but I never do because that becomes, well, I do whatever Jesus, what I think Jesus wants me to do. I'll tell you what Jesus wants you to do. Obey the Scripture in every area of life. So drop the whatever I feel like Jesus wants me to do. Under the authority of the Scripture, the local church is led by this group of people, pastors, elders, overseers. It is served by the deacons, and it is governed, meaning the big decisions of a local church, you make them. Pastors don't, deacons don't, you have to make them. And that's the way God organized the local church. Philippians 1, verse 1. Everybody look there. Gives you all the parts. Paul and Timotheus, these would be the at least an apostle and his delegate, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the what? Saints. Who is the book written to? Who is the book written to? See, here's where in a modern church you just can't ever get the normal people to get moving. They're waiting for pastors to grow up and for the deacons to deek. Actually, this book was written primarily to the people, the saints. And we'll have some fun and spend a lot of time on saints. So to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the what? Pastors, elders, and by the way, it is what? Singular or plural? Oh my goodness. I hear people argue all the time for one pastor, one little Baptist pope. Actually, there's no place in the Bible that ever has a Baptist pope or a Presbyterian pope or any kind of pope. It has plural. And then it says, and the what? There you have the local church, folks. Now, we're going to flesh this out, but in a nutshell, you have everything in a local church, which is under the authority of the Scripture. Yes? Teaching of the apostles. You say, what about Jesus? Yes, he's the head of the church mediated through the Scripture. He's going to tell us to do, he's not going to tell us to do something contrary to the Scripture, I hope. The local church is led by guys like me, served by some of the best men in this that I've ever met in this church, with the exception of Louie. We better qualify. Louie's part of this. I don't know how he got there, but he's there. And it's governed by the saints, the members. One verse, you have everything. Got it? Now, we're going to begin in a very different place because we're going to talk about the universal church and the local church, but we're going to do it in a different way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable time. May you bless our time together this morning. May we put some things together, learn some things. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You have a lot of notes in your hands. I'm assuming, Tim, you sang the song because it's in the bulletin, in the notes. You got to be, you're lying to me. Come on. Okay. Wow. What we want to talk about is primarily the local church. Now, Walter over here grew up in a little slightly different background. So, Walter, I'm going to say some things to you, but not to you, actually. Well, you had Baptist early on and then Bible church, just a little slightly different. Well, right. I'm talking about adult life. What is the problem with how we define a church? Maybe you've never thought about it much. I literally took the word ecclesia, the word church, in the Philippines, and we looked up every single reference. There's over 100, 90 plus of them talk about the local church. There's probably 5 to 7 or 8 that talk about a universal church. Oh, I had people mad at me. I have never had people more angry at me, because you have these two polar things. So you don't have to know this unless you're interested in knowing why you're going to run into people who don't believe this. About 1850, a gentleman, and that's very kind of me to say that, named J.R. Graves in the great state of Tennessee, took the First Baptist Church of Nashville, Tennessee, and caused a war. He was the first Baptist that we can trace back in 1850. This is very kind of recent. In 1850, he decided, and it's not just this, but there is no such thing as a universal church. There are only local churches. This is called, what's it called? Landmarkism. And this movement dominated the South. So if you're from the South, my guess is if you had anything to do with independent Baptists in the South or Southern Baptists or any touching on that, landmarkism is a dominant view. Now, they don't say nobody can be saved. Most of them don't say that you have to be a Baptist to be saved, but boy, it's pretty close. They take it to extremes. Some of them say there's the Bride of Christ or just Baptist. And the rest of you who aren't Baptist, I guess you get to go to heaven, but you're kind of a second or a third or fourth class citizen. Now, Walter, I speak to Walter, but really to you. Now, we also have a group in America, comes out of fundamentalism in the late 1870s, 80s, 90s, through the 1930s. Our church is a fundamental Baptist church. But that came out of the liberal fundamentalist controversy, came out of a war that was fought with the liberals in the North, primarily, and it also came out of a lot of churches who were not Baptist. And these groups that were not Baptist, this is not religion, this is not make-believe, this is absolute. I'm going to give you specifics, navigators, which aren't real big today. They were very big at World War II and following. What is the group? Oh, good grief. The college ministry. Campus Crusade for Christ. When I was in the Philippines, Pastor Bobby Livioco got saved through Campus Crusade for Christ and left it in the Philippines because he started recognizing people truly got saved, and Campus Crusade for Christ has no understanding of the local church. They don't even think it's important. Actually, Campus Crusade for Christ thinks the only thing that's important is Campus Crusade for Christ. So you never have a local church with, look up here, everybody, this isn't your religion. You don't get to choose. The Bible chooses. You never have pastors, elders, overseers. You never become a member of a local church. And he said he saw them publicly tell people that, pray, you know, he thinks got saved, just go back to your Catholic church. Because the local church is not important. So for the last 100 years, there is a division among people who are big on local church and people who are big on the universal church. I've had people come here and says, I'll never be a member of a church. And you're like, I don't know that there's any Christian in the New Testament. I'd like you to point them out who weren't members of local churches. I'm very interested in who these people are, because the local church is God's plan for doing his work on earth. So there is this war. You have landmarkism that says no universal church. And you have a whole group, and I don't want to criticize people. Anything connected to Dallas Seminary was very weak. So meaning, Ron, where your children went, the local church is not emphasized in a place like that, because those parachurch ministries, are you all with me? The parachurch, Dave, do you know what a parachurch ministry is? Parachurch ministry is just what the word means, something alongside the local church. By the way, many of them were good ministries, but some of them, in some locations and at some times, the next thing you know, they're more important than a local church. Instead of helping the local church, they become everything. And there was all of these ministries that sprouted up all over the country. And you find people never join a local church, don't attend a local church, but they're big into parachurch ministries. So instead of coming alongside the local church to help the local church, they actually replace the local church. Are you with me? There are many people that don't attend church. This is very common. So you start to see there's this problem. By the way, do we believe in parachurch ministries? Well, we use bunches of them. Maranatha is one of the places we recommend. We use them, but they don't try to replace the local church. They try to strengthen the local churches. Baptist World Mission is a parachurch organization. But again, they're trying to help the local church carry out the Great Commission. Nothing wrong with a parachurch ministry until the parachurch ministry replaces the local church. So you always have this struggle. To be very blunt, you can buy volumes on the church from Dallas Seminary. I won't mention names. And guys connected to Dallas Seminary, they'll have a whole book on the church that never mentions the local church. Then on the Baptist side, you can have books on the church that never mentions the universal church. Now, what I want you to do this morning, you are in luck. For the first time in your life, you're going to know what Baptists believed in 1644. And what I believe in 2016. Look in your notes. This is the London Baptist Confession of 1644. It is a confession of faith of 7 congregations of churches of Christ in London. And by the way, remember, Baptists were just coming under headway, if you remember Dr. Saxon's teaching. These were particular Baptist churches. He says, these men say, which are commonly but unjustly called Anabaptist. Because you can slander people by calling him an Anabaptist, which kind of took on the term of a revolutionary. He says, published for the vindication of the truth and information of the ignorant, those who don't know. Likewise, for the taking off those aspersions which are frequently, both in pulpit and print, unjustly cast upon them. Printed in London in the year of our Lord, 1646. Here is their statement concerning churches. So everyone look me in the eyes. We do not hold a creed above the Bible. I'm just going to say this. When I hear a J.R. Graves landmarker tell me about old-fashioned Baptist, I look at them and snicker and say, you mean about 1850? Because in the 1640s, in writing, we know exactly what our forefathers believed about local church, universal church, and one other item which we'll look at. We know exactly what they believed. All right. And although the particular congregation be distinct, boy, you can hear King James English, and several bodies, every one a compact and knit city in itself. So Baptists have always believed that the local church is autonomous. The three big words, we'll get to them later. Self-governing, self-propagating, self-supporting. They're a knit city within itself. Yet are they all to walk by one and the same rule. Look up here, please. See this? See this? Our forefathers believed that each local Baptist church was independent, meaning Dan Duncan's church across the border can't tell Lake County what to do, and we don't tell Rick Melvin what to do, and Rick Melvin doesn't tell Pastor Franco what to do. We believe we're independent, autonomous, self-governing, self-propagating, self-supporting churches. Where do we learn that from? The Bible. That's what we've always believed. But let's continue. They are all to walk by what? Yeah. So when you go into a Bible-believing church, you say, boy, they're pretty similar. Well, they ought to be pretty similar. Doesn't mean that we all have the same amount of songs, speak the same language. That can be different, but we all organize according to the Scripture, the teaching of the apostles. Let's continue. And by all means convenient to have the counsel and help one of another in all needful affairs of the church. By the way, the more of this that you don't believe in a universal church, the less you talk to anybody, counsel anybody, ask questions of anybody, you do your own thing. Do you say, Pastor, do you experience that? Not with my friends. But I don't need to go any further. You know people, they're the only ones. We now have a Baptist church in this area that proudly claims the name cult, where you guys used to go. I heard him say, I am gladly a cult, meaning he is the only church there is. Well, I don't want to claim that. Do you? Let's continue reading. They say, and by all means convenient to have the counsel and help one of another in all needful affairs of the church, like in sending out missionaries. It's kind of nice to work with other churches. But then it says, as members of what? In the common faith, under Christ, their only head. Early Baptists, I say in your notes, confess certain things. And I believe every one of them. First of all, there is an emphasis on the autonomy. If you don't know what that word is, I'll write it. Autonomy. In a nutshell, Baptists don't do this. Local churches, and then there's a board above that, and then there's something above that, and then there's something above that. We don't do this. Many churches do, by the way. Anything that came from Wesley, because he came out of Anglican church, anything that comes from Wesley is going to have tiers, where the local church then or the answers to another church, which answers to a board on up the ladder. It's common. So an emphasis on the autonomy of the local church. Next, the headship of Christ and authority of the New Testament, or the apostles, or the teaching of the apostles. Get the concept, not the word. Word's not important. Look at me, folks. What's a local church? Under the authority of Scripture, teaching of the apostles, the headship of Christ. We are led by pastors, served by deacons, governed by members. That's a local church. You need to know that. Because what happens when someone comes in and wants to do something differently? And you say, that'll never happen. We now have a Bible church background guy over in Schaumburg area. Can't remember the name of the church. That goes in and buys out buildings. People then watch what goes on in that area, in Waukegan, in Zion, in other places, and they call that church. There's nobody even present except people. They get to see the rock and roll. They get to jump up and down with what they see on the screen, and they go home. You got to figure out what a local church even is. And if things are bad now, they're not going to get better, because most people do not know the scripture. So, an emphasis on the autonomy of the local church, the headship of Christ, and the authority of the New Testament, apostles, teaching of the apostles, etc. Next, voluntary association for various reasons. Can be many reasons why local churches get together. Missions would be one, wouldn't you think? I think Pastor Melvin came here and preached when I was gone. Our guys preach in a lot of local churches around here at given times. Noel, how many churches have you preached at around here? A bunch. Five, six? At least three. Tim, you preach in a bunch of churches in the this is where people need help. We go help. Yes? Lastly, one body. The what? The scripture teaches it. We don't want to deny it. I don't want to deny it. I have no reason to deny it. But hold on, I also don't want to deny the local church. So when people, I remember years ago hearing this statement. It was about, I won't get to the specific organization, but there was a town where there was a big Christian fundamentalist organization. And I assumed that all those people who worked for that great organization went to the local church. They were all members of that local church, but they never attended. And they didn't tithe, and they didn't work. And tell me why. Why? Anybody? Because they served in their parachurch ministry. They didn't need to do those things. And this is very common, folks. You go to a place where there's a Christian college, you know, there are people like a Fred Moritz that is part of a church wherever he's living. Sunday morning, Sunday night, even Wednesday night. He's ridiculous. But there's a lot of people, it's like, I serve Maranatha. Where I serve Camp Joy. By the way, I believe in universal church. I have no problem with parachurch organizations, because as long as they're come alongside to help the local church. But if they're doing anything to replace the local church, then they're out of order. You say, why? Because God ordained the local church. That's where he does his business. All right. We will erase some of this. I'm not going to sing the song. I was thinking about having Mike sing it, but I put this in the bulletin because it deals with the concept of the universal church. Next page, please. Before I get to this next page, because I am getting less and less interested in taking notes, because I've learned that I could just teach and teach and teach, and folks take perfect notes and notice that the comma's in the wrong place and have no idea what was taught. Last Sunday morning, I loved, and I'm going to tell you why I loved it. I learned things from some of you. Dave over here gave the best comment on why we don't understand the imprecatory Psalms. Were you in here? Can you tell me what he said? I can. I like questions, as long as the questions are appropriate to what we're discussing. I like interaction. I hate note-taking and sleep-getting, because this ought to be a time where we understand who we are. Does anybody have questions so far on this concept of universal and local? Our thoughts. I'm not going to ask you if you grew up thinking it or believing it or what you believe, because remember what I said. The way we are is the way we were. By the way, I could do an experiment with you to prove it to you. It is almost impossible to remember how your mother looked when you were in first grade. But you don't know that. We take our memories and we color them with the present. That's the reason the question wasn't a good question earlier. All right, I got a ton of stuff on the universal church I'm not going to teach, but we are going to go to another concept here. On the next page, I ask a question. How are we to organize a local New Testament Baptist church? And frankly, I could take the name Baptist out, because I'm not interested in the name. Baptist is simply a name that's supposed to mean a bunch of ideas that we believe. So the name is not that significant. I say in your notes, many or most churches are organized by traditions. And therefore not questioned. Because if you just do what you do, you never question anything. So I have a question in your notes. Or not in your notes, on the board. Somebody already said some things. Potato salad. What's in potato salad? Stacy, what do you like in potato salad? And? Yeah, mayonnaise, mustard, a little bit. Dave says, oh, no. Okay, Stacy, where did you learn to fix potato salad? Okay, thank you. At least you're honest. Dave, you say absolutely no mustard in the potato salad. More mayonnaise. So right now we have a church split. We have the mustardites and the mayo. Yeah, we'll just shorten it to mayonites. Okay, what else? But by the way, Dave, where did you learn to eat potato salad? Your mom. Okay. What do we call this? Tradition. Yes, because I learned that, well, there's... Yes. Oh, yeah, so we have a split right down the middle between Miracle Whip and the real mayonnaise. Okay, what else? What's that? So we have the pro-pickle people. And then we have the anti-pickle. And then we have a split here between the dill and the sweet. Man, we're a mess. And then, listen, and then there's people in this room that think, what's potato salad? Where's the rice? Did you have potato salad as a kid? And then, if you have German roots, then you're thinking of potato salad is anything like what you just mentioned. And then if you know what Heidi makes from Swabia, she has a whole different spin on potato salad that's still German potato salad. We're a mess. By the way, which one's right and which one's wrong? Well, who cares? First of all, with the exception of you pro-pickle people, everything else, I like all kinds, so I don't care. The pickle stuff, yeah, it's too sweet. I don't know about dill pickles, but sweet pickles. So we're going to have a little church meeting, and we're going to vote out all of those pro-sweet pickle people. Now, we've been looking for a reason for quite some time. May I say this to you? Some of you aren't getting the point, are you? You don't really analyze what you do. You don't analyze why you do it. You just do it because... And? It's comfortable. It's comfortable. Yes? It's easy. So when you start asking people... For instance, I read a pastor local in this Chicago area, not an evil guy. He was trying to prove... Hound that there's only going to be one pastor in every local church because there's one angel in each church in the book of Revelation. Well, that's a weird... I'm no angel. But we got at least one angel right here, don't we? Well, how... Noel?
That's closer.
Yeah. Brian, not so much. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, really? He's trying to defend his tradition. And you say, well, who cares about this stuff? Hey, in the Philippines, among some Baptists. Well, let's ask this question. I'm going to ask Dave, who owns the property of Lake County Baptist? Do you realize that in the Philippines, there's a large group of Baptists. The pastor owns the property. Therefore, guess who has to become the next pastor? Stacy. Is Southern, too, by the way. The pastor's son, because it's like a mom-and-pop business. You own the property. You own the buildings. Dave, you know who owns this property? The church, the corporation. And my name is not any place on it by choice. Now, I think that used not to be the case. Mike, is that right? Back in the dark ages, I think everything might have been under somebody else's name. Today, we have demons that have to put their name on here as the corporate officers. But it's actually owned by the church. You say, why? Do you understand that all this stuff that you think is not important is? It becomes very important. All right. Now I get to have more fun. We're not going very far in the notes this morning. I'm actually not trying to teach anything. Actually, if you don't learn this here, you just wasted 45 minutes. And if next Sunday morning you can't come here and just click this off, this is what a church is. So when you walk into a building and you see a screen up there and you don't see pastors and you don't have membership, you don't have a church. You have a religious gathering where people can be anonymous, which, by the way, lots of folks like to be anonymous, even here. Next in your notes, many, and I asked the question most, and I don't know, many or most other churches, if they're not organized by tradition, they're organized by or in reaction. Do you all understand what it means to be organized in reaction to something? Okay, I'm going to have to, we've already decided that at least one mustardite's going. If you're a mustardite, you're staying, but get out of here. How does one organize a Baptist church? And actually what you find is, the joke among pastors that read is this. If you go to a church, any church you want to go to, and you read their articles, most of the articles don't tell you anything about how the church works. It tells you about the past of the church. Now, we have some kind of articles here. Lord only knows where they're at, and I haven't read them since my first year here, except the doctrinal statement. I think that's the key to this. But there's actually something in the articles in this church in reaction to the person you're looking at. Because Ralph Warren was put up for deacon at age 23 and age 24, and there's something that Ron Hill put in there to keep me from being a deacon. That you had to be 25 years old to be a deacon. That's a fact. In reaction. So what happens if you grow up in a church where you have a Baptist Pope? So you have the Pope, and way down here you have the people. What is the reaction to that? Well, it can be several. No, I mean, you have a reaction to the church government too. You could have this, where you have a group of, you have some sort of a board, and churches have different names for this. Sometimes they have a plurality, but they don't mean what we mean. They mean the plurality of people in the church. And then you have a pastor, which is, I call him the hired gun. Because he comes and speaks, but he doesn't do anything else. And then you have the congregation. And look up here. The reason they have the church and this group of people make all the decisions. In the Philippines, sometimes that will be deacons. They literally make every decision. The church doesn't, the pastor doesn't, the deacons do, or they will have literally, and unfortunately some of that came from our kind of churches, they'll have a board of directors that aren't even the deacons, that don't meet any qualifications, except usually they have money. And they'll put those people in charge, and those people dictate everything. Now, why would you do that? Dave, you're a guy that runs a business. Why would people swing from here to here? Because they think it may be what? Anybody? Every church is looking to be safe. And if somebody over here took over, then you swing over here and this will be safe. Now, if you grew up in this and you got tired of this group, whoever this group is running every decision of the church, then you tend to swing back this way. Or you can go in the middle where you have, it's usually very small, a congregation and the hired gun. And I've seen these too. where literally the congregation votes on everything. The biggest meeting of the month is not Sunday morning, not Sunday night, not Wednesday night, not Awana's, not the, it is the business meeting. And they have, literally in Venezuela, I saw business meetings that went on for 3 days. And they discussed everything. And they had a, they had committees in charge of everything. And the, they had the committee for toilet paper. They had the committee for, you know, cutting the grass. And the committee members would have to get up, Mike, can you believe this, and explain how much gas they spent cutting the grass. And this was the meeting. Now, you know what that does to a church? It's a perverted church is what it is. Now, you say, well, how is a church run? So somebody give me another suggestion. How should a church be organized? You like this one? I know there are people who think that's what this church is run by, the Baptist Pope. Oh, Lord, help me. I do. Yes, and it'd be very interesting to know how many decisions I demand that we do. You have, well, you've been in the meetings. Well, they might assume that. They would be very wrong. How should a church be organized? Frenchie, you've been here how many years? Five. All right, so how was Lake County organized in the past?
I started with Pastor Hill.
Yeah. Okay. See, I don't bang on pulpits. I bang on people. It's much more fun. Go ahead.
They had deacons. Some of the deacons were excellent, but others were finding
sad. So they had some Louis back then, you're telling me, is what you're trying to insinuate. No, we don't need to go any further. I'm really looking... I'm just looking at a very simple thing, folks. Should a church be like this? Here is the president, or whatever you want to call it. And then we come down and we have, here are the assistants. And then we come down... Get your mind out of wherever it's at. The deacons? Debbie. I would have never thought that. T. Then you come down to the people. So this kind of looks like a what? What's that kind of look like? Looks like a company. Yeah, you know, you got the person in charge or thinks he's in charge, and then you have the people that are second, and everybody's looking for what? Power, and more importantly than, well, as importantly as power, titles. I have a title. Look at me. One of the best deacons in this church has never been a deacon in this church. Who is that? Jim Duncan. He's one of the greatest servants that's ever been in this place. Now, we have very few deacons that aren't servants right now. Pretty much all of them are, except Louis. Other than that, we're pretty good. By the way, that's an accident too, isn't it? Because we choose guys who are already... Yeah, that's the secret, folks. But I would say there's a lot of places like this, and everybody's looking for a title, and I'm not going to serve until I get my title. And when I get my title, I'll be somebody. Really? Now, sir... Oh, I didn't think about that. Then there's the Pope's up here. We have the Pope's wife. Or, I know this in the Philippines. Unfortunately, in the Philippines also, the Pope's daughter. Now, some of you aren't going to get this because this is outside your purview, but you'll understand when I say it. If the church is the family business... then what happens when the pastor leaves? You see, he can't. He can't leave because it's a family business. Now, does my daughter work here? Yes. Did I hire her? I think you hired her. I mean, you know, she has no more pay authority than, you know, she does what she does. I think there's a danger, because in the Philippines, you actually have people that get pretty profitable from all of this. By the way, here's our problem. I want everybody to look back at your notes. Most churches organize their local church based on tradition. What kind of potato salad do you like? Or in reaction. That's just what you find. So, by the way, you will hear pastors, not here, but you will hear pastors. I mean, I remember Jack Hiles saying this. He would not, ain't no man gonna tell me what to do. Well, what he was saying was, he had probably experienced some deacons or leaders in the church, and nobody was gonna question anything he did. Now, by the way, folks, when I preach the Bible, unless I'm not preaching the Bible, you're not gonna question the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. But I'm just a man like you. We work together. I will tell you this, the problem with all of these is I think they're very screwed up. I think they're based on tradition and in reaction. You say, what do I think a church ought to look like? This is my take. It's harder to draw. Kind of looks like a bullet, or it kind of looks, if you prefer, like a phalanx in an army. I believe a group of men are supposed to be leading, which means we're out front leading. If I ask you to do something, I need to be able to do something or something similar to it. If I preach something, which I do and I will this morning, I better be practicing what I preach, because the church is about, look at me, the church is about going someplace, not who has the title, not who the big shots are. Well, I'm a deacon. Who cares? Jim Duncan outserves 95% of the people I know. Never asked to be a deacon. Hello? See, to me, this whole thing of titles, it's like, really? I do believe there's supposed to be a group of men out here leading the church. I think it's taught in the Bible, led by the pastors, overseers, and elders. I think there's a group of men that come alongside, and secondarily ladies, obviously, who are servants. And you say, what do these guys do? Well, these servants, these deacons, serve. That's really shocking, isn't it? And who do they serve and how do they serve? I'll tell you exactly what a deacon does, because if a church is like an army moving someplace, doing something, see, here's the problem. No matter what I do, some folks come to church, sit down, and go to sleep. Tonight I'm going to preach on friendship. When I get done preaching on friendship, I will have a third of the people that hear the sermon that still don't think this has anything to do with my responsibility. Because in your mind, look at me, you think potato salad has to have. And you cannot get to the Bible if it bit you. Some of you think the parachurch ministry is more important than local church. Some of you think collecting dust is more important. Some of you think TV is more important. Here's the bottom line, folks. The church is an army. We're moving someplace. We're accomplishing things. Our goals are to reach people, build up people, train people, send out missionaries. We have very limited goals. The servants serve the church, and they serve these guys to help this thing do what? So the moment a deacon comes to me with his complaints and not his solutions, we got a problem. As Noel taught me many years ago, one of your captains said, if you got a headache, you better bring me some aspirin. Anybody can find problems. That's a dimwit that can find problems. Servants find solutions. Jim Duncan never comes to me and says, he's always coming to me with solutions. He's always saying, we need to start one down on the base. It's like, are you insane, Jim? What's wrong with you? And yeah, 1 year. By the way, do you understand this? What are deacons doing? By the way, we have an excellent group. The deacons help the church and the pastor move this thing forward, doing what we're supposed to be doing. And what do the people do? The people are serving in many different places, actually carrying out the work of the ministry. Here's our problem. Too much of us think in the corporate world, Or we think in reaction. I grew up around a bunch of deacons that ran the church. I hate that. Nobody's ever going to tell me what to do. Or you grew up around a Baptist pope. I'm never going to a church where the pastor does have a big personality. All that's nonsense. The church is going someplace. Do you know where it's going? Maybe that's our problem. Well, we didn't go very far, but we'll pick up here next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the folks interacting. Thank you for the good interaction last week especially that was just helpful for me. May you bless our time and our conversations about this in Jesus' name.